It's time for us to talk health and wellness, and we're sitting in the middle of a boat show. I'm going to be in a boat bobbing around tomorrow. What else could we talk about on a day like this but motion sickness? For the cars outside on the N2, it's non-motion sickness. I'm aware of that. Hang in there, and we'll do our best to keep you updated on the traffic status. But in the meantime, it's always a pleasure to have our health consultant, Dr. Darren Green, with us. Thanks for joining us. We do bring you to the nicest places, don't we?
Absolutely. What a treat, an absolute treat. Good to be here.
Decked out in your Springbok rugby jersey and hat and ready to support the team on Sunday.
Sweating for the green and gold.
Yeah, that's a loyal fan. So, of course, we're going to be talking about what motion sickness actually is and what causes it and how it presents and what you can do about it, if anything. If you would like to ask a question, join the conversation by calling us on 021-446-0567. You're also welcome to SMS your question to 31567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. I'm somebody who does suffer from it, Darren, so I feel it deeply, this topic. Can you tell us what is actually going on in the body when you feel motion sickness?
Absolutely. It's basically occurs in people that are either superiorly genetically developed.
Of course.
So for those out there that don't know, about 30% of people out there don't get motion sickness. The rest do. So what that entails is your brain's ability to actually deal with confusing signals that are coming out. So with the different types of motion, you can imagine sitting at the back of an old sedan, Cadillac, where the back seat has got its suspension and bobbing up and down while the car rides, or a boat where you have the motion of the ocean, or whether you're on a semicircular ride at a merry-go-round or whatever. What happens is the fluid in your ears, the inner ear particularly, called the vestibular system, is very much involved with getting sensory feedback as to your head and your body's movement according to the horizontal plane. So what happens is there's confusing signals that come through from the eyes, which are watching the movement, mm-hmm. and then what the head is actually sensing. And when those two are in conflict, what often happens, for caveman times and primitive times, due to the original cause of that being toxins or poisons, it induces the vomiting area of the human brain.
That's fascinating.
And then makes you vomit so that you can actually get rid of the toxin causing that disjointed confusion between the movement of the head and then the visual input that you're getting. So quite fascinating. That's why I was teasing about the genetic predisposition. But so that confusion then leads to the vomiting or the emetic center being activated. And that's then what causes the nausea and the vomiting.
Why then does the nausea and the vomiting continue? Does your brain not say, right, you've gotten rid of the toxin, you can stop now?
So all those that have had motion sickness or seasickness, mm-hmm. if you've gone on a ship or on a boat, you'll notice the first 48 to 72 hours are quite rough. Most people settle after, if they can get it through that that period of time with hydrating in between sessions of feeling nauseous, and not decreasing medically in terms of deteriorating into a really poor hydration condition, then they actually acclimatize and they do quite well after the first 3 days or 4 days at sea. So your body then adapts to getting these multiple signals in, and then obviously what it does, it can then regulate being oversensitive to the movement. But some people obviously take a lot longer. And the issue obviously is just as you adapt to the motion, what happens is after you've been at sea for a month, you get land sickness,
yeah.
which is when you get onto to land that's standing still, and your body and your brain's now adapted to the movement specifically, and the ears and this whole synchronization. And then obviously you feel nauseous because of getting onto still land.
Well, you've just referenced the question that came through this morning already when we heard that. When I mentioned yesterday, we were talking about this. Someone mailed me this morning who's just got back from a 2-week living on board diving trip and said, after experiencing some initial motion sickness while adapting, I had a wonderful trip. But at the end, when I got back on the dock, I felt queasy again and almost vomited. And this has continued for nearly a week now without going away.
Yeah, that's quite long. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they've obviously just braved it or whether they've looked at taking some medication to help with the symptoms, because there's quite a lot to know about the different options and home remedies and everything out there regarding treating this thing.
So let's talk about treatment medically. There are drugs that you can take. Why do antihistamines often get prescribed?
So antihistamines, things like Phenagan, which is an injectable one, obviously causes a lot of drowsiness and also suppresses the inflammatory response. So you can imagine then that also plays a role. Mm-hmm. It also has an effect on the receptors of the emetic center, the nausea center, and then the vomiting center itself. So you'll find other classes of drugs work then directly as an anti-emetic or anti-vomiting, things like Stemetol, for example. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with the issue of taking these drugs, the big thing is drowsiness.
Yeah.
So you often feel so groggy on them that you can't actually perform exercise, work with machinery, etc. And that's why quite a few people have moved, and the tendency now is to move on to even an anticonvulsant called phenytoin or Epinutin, which in the right dosage has been proven quite effective in treating motion
really?
Sickness. However, you have to start it before getting on the boat, so
okay.
You know, preferably about 3 days before, and then moving it up. And so very, very exciting to see that that's also an option. And people sometimes feel a little bit less drowsy on phenytoin.
Okay.
The profile is not as bad as some of the antihistamines like cenarazine, for example.
Mm-hmm. What about, you mentioned the home remedies. Everyone
yes.
always says ginger biscuits, ginger tea for anything to do with nausea from pregnancy to
correct,
sickness.
Correct.
Is there any science explaining why that is?
Yeah, so, well, there is actually something. There's the active, when you dry out the ginger powder, it's actually called, I think, 6-dehydro ginger or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly also has an effect on the emetic center as well in terms of the receptors. So that's why it actually has been proven to be, if not as effective as some of the anti-emetic antihistamines, but it certainly isn't harmful. So,
okay.
And I think it's harder to overdose on that than it is to overdose on some of the other drowsy medications.
Yeah.
For me, on the Agulhas, when I go down to Antarctica or Gough Island or whatever regularly, that is terrible. My treatment on the ship is when the crew look at me, laugh, and then give me a bucket and a mop and say, that will get you ready. And that takes about 2 days.
You're okay. Well, I'm a person who thinks you can't ever eat too much ginger, so I'm going to stick with that.
It's good
one.
For you. Yeah. It really is. Hey.
If anybody else has a home remedy or something that you swear by that works for motion sickness, please share it with us. Either drop a voice note to 0725671567 or send an SMS to 31567. Shame, Alfie and Hout Bay on the WhatsApp line saying, I suffer terribly from motion sickness.
Mm.
Interesting though, she says, except on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that in a second. She says, I'm a nightmare to my family and friends. I always have to drive, and when not in that position, by the time my hands are all clammy, I am beyond help.
Oh,
I feel you, Althea, particularly as a child. I touch wood, mine is not as bad in adulthood as it was in childhood, but flying as a child was a nightmare for me. Why would she not feel it on an aeroplane?
Yeah, so the type of movement's different. Sometimes the canal. So if you look at a pretzel,
yeah.
Always lovely. The pretzels that are lovely in a kidney bean shaped. Your inner ear contains the cochlea and the labyrinth and these beautiful mm-hmm. structures that look like pretzels presented at 90 degree angles to each other. And the slightest movement, whether you're going obviously up and down movement or whether you're going rotational movement or left and right tilt, activates fluid in those canals in a different way and then sends a chemical receptor basically via a nerve signal. That then will alert the brain as to which way. So some people are more sensitive to certain movement planes. Rotational rides, for example, might not affect some people at all. Others, imagine you're a ballerina and you can't
yeah.
You know, so that's part of the process. So it's also about which of those canals in terms of orientation and angles are mm-hmm. actually implicated in the specific movement and those receptors. If you might have an over dramatic response to certain planes, for example.
Okay. So obviously there are things you can do to minimize it. You
absolutely.
Don't read in the car.
Well, that's a big
one.
Or watching videos in the
yeah.
car. Because your eyes then think that you're standing still. They're
okay.
looking at a phone that's standing dead still, and the seats around you also appear fixed. So your eyes are seeing you not moving, basically, and
yeah.
your ears are feeling that you are moving. And that's then the confusion that occurs. So that's the first thing. The second thing is obviously if you are traveling in a moving vehicle, to fix on the horizon on a fixed point,
yeah.
If you can, and then move to the front of the car, because the back, the movement, the tail end of the movement obviously is a lot more than in the front. Driving is actually the best position.
Best to be, yeah.
And then on an aeroplane, sit near the wing. So if
okay.
you, because then there's a fixed structure on the corner of your eye, looking at the wing that keeps you almost grounded instead of obviously the movement and the flicker. So that's quite useful.
That's a very interesting observation.
And then the amount of food you eat and keeping a tummy that's not completely empty but also not overindulging
mm-hmm.
means that the nausea that you get sometimes from being a bit hungry and having the acid secretion in the tummy on an empty tummy also lessens the nausea quite considerably. And then obviously prepare in advance if you can for long trips, definitely.
Okay. I believe we've got a voice note that's coming with some advice from somebody who has to deal with this regularly in his line of business. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Pippa. It's Vic here from Dawson Island Fishing Charters. Yeah, it's very interesting that I do have quite a lot of people on my charters that have taken tablets against seasickness and still feel quite ill on the boat. And in fact, last week I had somebody that actually vomited on board because of the sea and the motion. But what I have done is, as soon as I feel somebody is looking a little bit green at the gills or looking a little bit seasick, I actually give them jobs to do and allow them to drive the boat. While I'm putting out lines, I allow them to do a couple of things around, wash the fish, and then and get them to just to do some a couple of things around the boat that is fun. And guess what? It's all forgotten and all gone. They simply do not get sick. It seems to be a major mental thing. Okay, thank you. Lovely program. Bye.
Thanks, Vic. That's lovely. Brilliant. I mean, isn't psychology amazing?
Absolutely. And the distraction often can also bypass certain pathways and help, you know, from the physiological response that we discussed in detail. But absolutely, I mean, you can see it in the, on the long trips as well. They often get you out into the fresh air, onto the decks, and say, try and walk around, even if it's just for 10 minutes.
The worst place to be is downstairs lying in your bed.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you are on a ship or on a boat, obviously the middle, the center of the boat's better than sitting on the sides because of the degree of the levers and the amount of movement that you're gonna experience. And then higher up you go on the ship, obviously the more movement. So you want to actually sleep down right at the bottom with the chefs and the crew, and you want to sleep on the floor of the room, not on the bed. I've had lots of those rolling out experiences, but great comments. Thanks for that.
I believe there's another voice note with a remedy of sorts. Let's take a listen. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, while we get that voice note ready, let me share a message that's coming from Joy in Rondebosch, who says, I have a visual perceptual disorder, reading and tracking problem, and even sitting still at traffic lights if my eyes follow cars passing from left and right or vice versa. After about 4 cars, I am already dizzy. I can't wear multifocals. The same thing happens. I need to look at a fixed point. Much better being the driver in the car. I can never be a passenger.
Absolutely. And that involves the tracking saccade movements of the eyes that keep bringing them back to the midline. And that's called smooth pursuit, for those that want to Google it. Wonderful, wonderful phenomena that we actually have when it's functioning normally. So to understand the absence of that is obviously what our listener is sharing.
Okay, I think we've got that voice note now. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Pippa. I was in the Navy for 2 years, and my grandmother told me before I went, this is like old wives' tale, it's actually true. You take a plaster and stick it on your one ear, on the lobe of your one ear, and I don't know what it does. It's probably obviously a mental thing, but those first few days, which is the worst, when we went out on long trips, helped me, and I can really, really say it really worked for me, and I was on the Navy for 2 years, so yeah, good thing to remember. It's very easy.
Thank you for that. Eddie and Bergfleet, is it meant to be, I think there might be a spelling mistake in this SMS, but brown paper on the tummy never fails. Have you ever heard of that one?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've heard about people like the trolleys. Remember, I think in a previous show, a listener called in about earthing the trolley.
The trolley in the supermarket.
And that the Irish used to believe as well, with sitting in the back seat of the car, that you just need to have a chain dangling off the back of the car. And that obviously earthed the car and got rid of the motion sickness. Those are some of the most interesting theories I've heard. I haven't tried them, unfortunately.
Look, if it works for you, even if it is psychological cure, take it. Some of you suffers, take whatever you can to make it work for you. I mean, that comment about the plaster on the earlobe is interesting, because a lot of the sort of the over-the-counter things you buy include that. It's something that you pop on the pressure point on the wrist or a pressure point on the earlobe. Do you certainly saw
those? Some of the wristbands that have been put out there are to work with the magnetic fields, which comes back to the earthing theory, which is quite interesting. I haven't found loads of evidence to show, to show us some trials about the intervention and quantify its success as yet. But the other thing are the patches that they use.
Yep.
But that's a medicated patch that releases medication, things like I think scopolamine that you put behind the ear, and that then obviously enters the skin and then is absorbed into the bloodstream and has its effect.
Another lovely one from Lynn on the WhatsApp saying, our sail down the wild coast lived up to its name. Our son was really green and thought it very unfair that our daughter could eat anything with no negative effect. She then introduced him to Marmite on dry bread, and voila, always rosy in his world.
Wow.
Yeah, I was always told a Marmite sandwich in the car. We always had Marmite sandwiches packed because of the link, supposedly, as a car sickness.
Really?
Yeah.
So salted to get
either
your blood
that or my parents
out,
just then. Really loved Marmite, but I'm going with the former theory, okay?
I like it. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. So just to recap in closing, Darren, I mean, if you are among the genetically blessed who are predisposed to suffering from this,
correct.
If it is really severe and you know you're going to be exposed, there are medications you can take. Should you be asking your GP for that, or will a pharmacist be able
GP
to prescribe
GP or pharmacist, some of them need to be scripted, unfortunately, okay. due to the drowsy effect as well and the scheduling. Yeah. But certainly, speak to your pharmacist about using patches. I know in South Africa, we struggled to get hold of them 2 years ago.
Okay.
A lot of the Europeans love the patches. It's quick, it's easy, and you know you administer it yourself. Easy. But when it comes to people that know they're really bad and struggle for 5-6 days on a trip, often they take sedatives to sleep while they're on the trip.
Helps
and then they normally get a Phenagan or an antihistamine injection and an antiemetic on the trip. And then, but the hydration is then monitored. If they lose too much fluid, just to keep them hydrated, they might, if they can't orally tolerate, they might need a drip or so.
Sure.
But hopefully never that bad. But yeah, I'd say just prep in advance and then ask about the use of the anticonvulsants, phenytoin, which a lot of diving expeditions are utilizing now as well.
Dr. Darren Green, always great to have you with us. Thanks for coming down to join us at the
Thank
Boat
you.
Show.
And good luck tomorrow.